views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. And by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. I have an amazing woman with me here today named Naomi Carmona Moorshead. She's a mom. She has 7 grandkids. She's an adventure mountain climber, an inspirational speaker, a best-selling author, and one of my favorite little pieces, she is passionate about inspiring moms to achieve the profound dreams of living a healthy life while raising children. Now, there's this line in her bio that I have to read to you. Naomi rocks the stage with empowering stories that reawaken dreams of superheroes, warriors, and satisfied souls so that every aspect of life is energized to climb to greater heights. Now, I think this statement describes this woman perfectly. She has overcome some incredible adversity in her own life, and she absolutely refuses to accept limitations. Now, as if that's not enough, she also puts a lot of energy into giving back. So for example, her and her husband have committed to save 100 children's lives through Mending 100 Hearts, which provides heart surgery for children in developing countries. How cool is that? When I first met Naomi, she actually had a young girl from Bangladesh with her on the call. That's how intricately she's involved in this commitment. So she lives it, she breathes it, she walks it, she does it all. Now, 25 minutes is only going to allow us to touch the very peak of the mountain when it comes to Naomi's amazing initiatives, but we will do the best we can. Naomi, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie. I love the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show name. It makes me excited.
Yes. Well, and I can understand why you would, because it totally describes who you are. Now, I think for listeners to really appreciate this, they need to know a little bit more about your background. So can you give us just a little condensed version of your story?
I will do that. When I was 3 years old, it was a long time ago, but they took us to clinics instead of to doctor's offices. And the doctors got fairly excited because I had a heart murmur, which then followed evaluations, surgery. And at age 10, they did open heart surgery. It was considered pioneering days, so the chances of my living through it were only 50-50. But this is 53 years later, and it's obvious that God had a plan for me because here I am. But I didn't really take off the label of heart patient until I was 58 years old. So wow. I didn't do everything that everyone does. I didn't even run my first mile until I was 15. So what I'm able to do today, starting at age 60, when I decided to follow my husband up higher and higher mountains, is truly a gift and a pleasure to be outdoors and experiencing what so many people have done all their lives.
Yes, but you've really gone a step beyond. I mean, to go from hardly participating because, you know, your heart couldn't take it, that kind of thing. So not just a non-athlete, but really hardly participating to all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to actually climb mountains. Like, why? How did you decide to do that?
Well, I went to a class. It was called Circle of Champions, and they showed us movies about a really leadership in the world when it comes to athletes. And I was watching those, and then we were required to do 6 exercises, and one of them was a handstand. And heart patients are not allowed. And I decided, I'm just going to do it. And so we had to do it 6 times over 3 days. And I started out at 33 seconds, and I ended at 1 minute and 31 seconds. I was the oldest woman to do that, and the only person who beat me was a Marine who was 30.
Okay, but so, what shifted in your brain to make you suddenly so brave, so ready to do these things?
I was watching all of them struggle, and I'm not a very large person, but there was a lot of people larger than me that kept pushing through. And I thought, well, what's going to happen to me? It's okay. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to trust the system. I'm going to trust it. And they had all the tools and all the ways to help you get up and stay up. And I just followed the system. And so later what happened was my husband was challenged to climb higher. And it was actually through a church service. And so he literally started climbing higher mountains, and he'd been backpacking for 40 years. So I was encouraging him, but he started coming back so transformed that I'm like, what are you doing out there? What are you seeing? Who are you hanging out with? So he started doing films at the top of each mountain. And I asked him for my 60th birthday, would you take me 9 miles, 9,000 feet, 9 hours? That's it. No more. And he did that. And I became such an encourager of him that I followed him to Pikes Peak. And there you can drive to the top of 14,500 foot mountain. And he walked and I drove.
Okay.
And I met him 8 hours later. And at the top, he said, do you have the video on? I said, yeah. And he made a V with his arms and he says, Kilimanjaro.
Oh, no.
And I said, I want to go. Where is it?
Right.
No idea. It was the tallest freestanding mountain in Africa, actually in the world, and
right,
the tallest mountain in Africa. I didn't know it was 19,341 feet. I didn't know that some people need oxygen to get there. I didn't know that only 60% of those who attempt the mountain actually reach the top. I just wanted to go with him. And that wow. started the 8 mountains in 8 months.
Oh my gosh. And every single time I talk to you, you tell me, you know, well, we just did like 7 mountains since I last talked to you. We've done this many or been here, did that. It's amazing what you accomplish. I mean, it's way more than so many people that have been working out and doing things all of their lives. So that in itself, I think, is already a huge inspiration. So I'm wondering if we can take this now and maybe break it down into some key pieces that other people could use in order to take control of their own health, to start making changes.
Absolutely. I think being the superhero of your own health is the key to abundant living.
Okay, beautiful. So how do you do that?
Well, I use 3 tips. I say that first you have to decide. Decide that your health is your wealth. Now, you may not know that my first husband died from disease. And you may not know that my second husband's wife died from disease. So our commitment is to be the healthiest every single day and healthier every year. So we're always looking for ways. So we made a decision. Our health is our wealth. And we've been able to prove that, because what you don't know is in the 3 years since I started climbing, we actually climbed 61 mountains in 3 years.
Yikes.
I know.
Impressive.
A little bit tired now, but yeah. Now he's continuing to climb. I have a different story. But tip number two is you really need to know what your resources are. So you have resources that are right in front of you and you don't even know. And then there's resources that you need to adapt and to find to become healthier. And once you have all those pieces together, and it's really just a matter of a plan, then you decide to train whatever it is that's missing. You train it until it becomes easy and effortless. So I'm talking about when he said, would you like to go to Ecuador? And I go, oh, what's in Ecuador? He says, well, Maria Jose, the child that we saved her. I go, oh yeah, let's go visit her. He goes, and then we're going to climb some snow-capped mountains. He goes, and it's, they're glaciers. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And he said, so we're going to get ice axes and crampons and we're going to rope together. And I go, oh, so I trusted the system. And by the time we got there and we trained the mountain climbing, we could climb and we summited, oh my goodness, three volcanoes. And we climbed one mountain six times, just all different directions to learn how to do it. So nine mountains in Ecuador.
Oh my gosh. I like that. One mountain six times just to, you know, make sure we really had it down all different ways, try out different things. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's something I want to share in there, but let's do tip number three first.
Okay. So tip number three is to focus, because if you're focused on your mind and your heart, which are connected, you can achieve anything you set your mind to do. But if your heart is not in it, then there's no direction. You just have a thing to do and it becomes a must or a should. And that's how I live my life as a heart patient, a should or should not. And I don't want to live that way anymore. I call my living style positive living inspiration, so that everything I think and do is shifting me towards something. So focus is absolutely key. And let me tell you, when they take all your tools away and you have crampons on and there's an ice mountain ahead of you and they say, go walk up that mountain, you better be focused one step at a time. And that's how you live it out. Decide your health, get your resources together, train them, and then focus until you get exactly where you were meant to be.
Oh my gosh. So there's so many beautiful pieces there. Like, just going back to the resources for a moment, can you give us just a couple of examples? I mean, I know you said the crampons and the ropes and all that kind of stuff, which is your mountain gear, but is there some other little resource examples you could give that the average person might use to just start changing things?
I absolutely have two that are in your own house. In fact, in your bathroom, we all have for sure a place to eliminate. We have usually a shower, but not all of us have a bathtub. Well, I have a bathtub, but I'd never used it for soaking my sore muscles. Mm. I never used it for relaxing. But I learned if I would fill that bathtub with hot water and sit in it for 20 minutes with some Epsom salts, some sea salt, some little oils, my body would calm down and I could go to bed and I wouldn't be having a restless leg syndrome from all the hiking. But that's true for all of our lives. We're running so fast. The gift of time in your own bathtub with the door closed, you're steaming your body, you're letting it relax and it becomes so calm. It's a resource that I didn't notice until I was 60 years old.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, my kids always resisted baths and I always wondered, will that change at some point in their life? Will they go, oh my gosh, I love baths now? It hasn't yet, but they're only in their 20s. So it could still happen. But I love the point there, which is figuring out how you can support your body, what feels good for you, how you can find that time to slow down. And I mean, there's the added bonus there of, you say, for example, the magnesium you get from Epsom salts. That's
right.
Muscles. So learning those kinds of pieces, those are beautiful, simple resources. Did you have another one you wanted to share?
I did, because it's also in your bathroom.
Okay.
And moms use it all the time, but usually on other people, Band-Aids.
Oh.
Band-Aids have become such a resource, and it's all the different sizes that are available now. We don't have to cut out the size we need. We can get one to go around a finger. We can get one to go around a heel, of which I lost the complete heel because I had the wrong socks on and the wrong size shoes, and I wore myself out. And so by having the Band-Aid on Mount Kilimanjaro, I prepared ahead of time the Band-Aids for my heels, and I wore them every single day, a fresh pair. So I'd learned the style I needed, the thickness I needed. I put it on and I climbed for those 8 days, those 54 miles in no pain. just enjoying my climb because the resource and I applied it and prepared it so I could focus on the other aspect, like breathing, instead of worrying about my heels.
Exactly. You know, that actually brings me back to the story I mentioned earlier. I was in the Rockies group when I was in school, which I live in Manitoba, right in the middle of Canada. And the Rockies, of course, are over on the West Coast. And so for this school trip, we drove over to BC and then we climbed these mountains. And I hurt my heel quite badly in the climb. And Moleskine ended up being my best friend because we happened to have the product called Moleskine with us. But I was so proud of myself for having achieved this. And now I'm listening to your story and I'm going, huh, we only went up one side once and that was it. My heel was done. But it's funny how listening to your stories makes me think, why did I stop doing that? I mean, I did go out one more time across the Grand Canyon, but still that it just doesn't measure up to what you're talking about. So,
oh, not at all. The Grand Canyon's fabulous. I spent 3 days there in the rain and got flooded out and it's so beautiful.
It is. And what my whole point really with it was when I went in there, I thought I was never going to make it. Right? As you went down deeper, deeper, deeper and your knees are killing you and your toes are pushing through the shoes of your, or toes of your boot. And then when I was coming out, I suddenly had this whole different feeling. Like, I did this. I'm one of the people walking out of here. And so I can relate in that way to what you're experiencing, except that yours is, I think, maybe a couple levels above what I've done.
It's not about that, Debbie. It's about the journey. So what I hear you say is you went down first. You went into the valley before you came up to the summit.
Yes.
So many people think they need to go to the summit to find the view.
Oh.
And you came up to find the view. And I do say the higher you go, the better the view. But it depends on the journey. Because what if you got halfway up and there was a hailstorm and you got stuck? Your mindset could have changed. And when I climbed out of Grand Canyon, it was a hailstorm and the mud was red and every foot stuck.
Oh, yes.
You had to suck your foot up and take the next step going uphill. It's just about the journey. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That was a good 30 years ago too. So.
Yeah. Okay. So what?
So let's talk about your experience on August 13th, because everything kind of changed. This was just this last year, right? In August that this happened.
Yeah, on mountain number 47, I was hiking. We'd just been up to 9,800 feet in this beautiful dinky wilderness. We're walking out and I realized now what I didn't know then, that it was a stressful day because we'd gotten separated. And so calling across the valley and finding each other and connecting. So now we're on a sandy, open, flat, open space along a river, and I fainted and fell flat on my face. I had a concussion. My knees had contusions, which just means they're very bruised and they do not want to work. And when I came to, I felt someone had put a helmet on my head and I had this argument. No, I'm wearing a baseball cap. But somehow an angel protected me enough for me to get up, have lunch, and walk 5 miles out.
Oh my
gosh. The end result was that there is something wrong in my heart that I need to address. And I do have a heart monitor in my chest now. And that took a lot of psychological breakdown. At that particular time, I didn't know that. I just thought maybe I'm dehydrated. Let's just get off the mountain. And I recovered in 2.5 weeks and climbed a 14,000 foot mountain, not knowing that there was an issue. But this is 4 months later since I've had the monitor. I've had one episode and it's not scary anymore because even though I can't control it, even though I'm not able to climb above 11,000 feet right now, I still can be on purpose about my life. And so there was a psychological challenge there about what? No, I just started climbing 3 years ago. How could this take me out? And I decided it wouldn't.
Right. That is so beautiful, a story, because it really is one about reconnecting with your resiliency, which is when you started to go out and climb the mountains, right? Where you stopped saying, you know what? I'm not going to let my heart decide what I can do or can't do. I'm going to do this, I guess, starting with the handstands, you know, then going out and climbing these mountains. And now it was like you've reconnected with your resiliency. And suddenly you've had this pointed out that, you know what, it's wonderful. You can handle whatever life throws your way, but you still have to be aware. You still have to plan for things in a way that allows you to be at your best all the time. Because if you just keep going up 19,000 feet or 14,000 feet or whatever, there's going to be a price to pay.
There is. And we have to take responsibility for our own health. Even if the doctor would have pronounced terrible things over me, they didn't. They're very nice. But the neurologist was concerned. I found some bleeds. You know, they have this conversation about you. I remove myself and I listen to what they say, and they go, they might be talking about me. I'll decide if I want to accept that or not. It is a huge decision to make health your priority.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Key piece there. You didn't make mountains your priority. You made health your priority.
That's correct.
And that's what I want to make sure people are hearing, because this isn't about all of us going out and becoming incredible mountain climbers.
No.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Love it. So let's say that there's a mom and she's just getting started on her journey towards health. She really needs to rally all of her resilience. What's a first simple step that she could take?
Well, it is the decision that she's going to do it. And then I would really love to see everyone write down, what resources do I have? Because we have so many. Let me just go with water. Mm-hmm. We know that to drink water every day, because our body is 98% water, maybe 97, is very valuable. So what if we shifted from having and should be drinking water to, I choose to hydrate my body today, and mm-hmm. set your alarm for every hour to start sipping on a bottle of water. And if it's a 16-ounce normal size bottle that we all have, then drink half of it by the next hour. And do that all throughout the day. So it's a plan to hydrate, because that's one of the keys to having superhero health. If you hydrate every day, your body will cleanse itself. The toxins will go out. And I mean, you do have to go to the bathroom, literally, but your body will be so much happier. So the second part of that is tracking that you did it. Mm-hmm. So let's say you only did it 4 days out of seven. That's okay. Next week, decide I'm going to do it 5 days. Or however you do it, see that success, feel that success on a simple, easy shift.
Nice.
And when you do that shift, you become courageous about other things in your health. And you become compassionate toward those who haven't chosen that. And when you're compassionate and courageous and you're shifting towards that superhero health, your whole countenance changes and you become a model for other people. And all you did, well, you decided and you said, I'm going to hydrate my body, not because I have to, because I choose to.
Right. You broke it down into a doable step that you could take. So we are almost at the end of our time, and I really want to give you a minute or so to talk about your new book that's coming out in September.
Yeah.
So let me give you the floor and tell us what you're looking for, what you're doing, what you're looking for.
So Positive Living Inspiration is a collection of 25 stories of women or men who have made a positive change in their life. So if you know of someone, or if it's you, it's in these particular areas: health, wealth, and emotional freedom. And so you can go to the website and post that you want the information about how to get your chapter in the book. And I'll be happy to serve you, because I want to hear and display and share how all of us have changed our own world as we take control of our health.
Beautiful. Now, there is a Facebook page called Positive Living Inspiration.
Correct.
And you're highlighting some of the stories on there. Is that a place people can go to get an idea of the kinds of stories or a feel for it?
We will be posting stories in the Facebook page, Positive Living Inspiration.
Right. You are posting stories starting around now in June. Okay. So, and that's highlighting women's lives. Now, people can also stay connected with you through your blog, which is mending100hearts.wordpress.com.
Yes.
Is there anything quick you wanted to say about that?
No, just go read the stories and see the pictures. They're so much fun.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to make sure then that from all of that, people are clear. They can go to Positive Living Inspiration on Facebook. Take a look. There's lots of great quotes there. There's lots of great little ideas. But if you want to be part of the book, then you want to go to the website and get information from or to Naomi.
That's correct. TheBraveHeartShift.com.
Okay. And then you also have a gift as a thank you for people listening today. Naomi has a superhero health quiz. Very cute. And I think a very powerful reminder of what the key points are to remember in order to live a healthy life. Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Please choose to make health your wealth.
Nice. Naomi, thank you so much for coming on today's show and sharing your inspirational message with us. I really love how you embrace life so fully, how you take any obstacle that comes up and recognize it as the bump that it is. It's something to deal with and figure out how you're going to move on. And I especially love how you strive to make the world a better place with all of your heartfelt efforts. That's, yeah, pun intended, yes. But I really think that is so important for all of us when we feel that pull to make a difference in the world, that we actually are doing something about it. So thank you for being on the show with us. Thank you to our listeners. You are why we're here. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Naomi Carmona Moorshead, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.